141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set to kick off the post-split fixtures. Brendan Rodgers confirms Daizen Maeda could be in line for a Celtic return next weekend. Philippe Clement expects Tavernier and Goldson to be at Rangers next season amid interest from Saudi Arabia. And Dundee United can officially win the championship tonight, even though it's pretty much done already. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Cammy Bell and Hugh Evans.
It's all about liquidised food and sleepless nights. Now, we have reached the point of no return. A draw really is a disaster. A defeat really is a catastrophe. So, the Celtic fans will be delighted that Daizen Mayhem will be coming back to the side shortly, probably against Hearts a week tomorrow. And the Rangers fans, well, if James Tavernier is going out, they want him to go out in a high. And if he's not in Saudi Arabia next season, I don't know what.
Yeah, massive, massive weekend. He's done a brilliant build-up there. But yeah, huge weekend of football action at the top and the bottom of the league. You've got Sunday's going to be very, very exciting. Two teams that are slogging out for European football against our two old firm teams that are slogging out at the top of the league. So all to look forward to this weekend.
They call it the business end of the season for a reason, and it is going to be tense this weekend. So get in touch on 0141 951 1025. Friday night's always great, always busy, because we do have the games themselves to look forward to. So you've got the traditional, how do you feel about this game? Are you confident? Are you not? Who should be picked for the team? Who should be left out of the team? It's also tends to be the day when most of the managers do their media duties. So Brendan Rodgers today revealing Daizen Maeda could be back as early as next weekend. What do you make about that? Celtic fans, he also says this is the time of the season where Celtic get their trophy heads on. He's explained the viral clip of him putting the Celtic kit man in his place as well, if that's the type of thing that floats your boat, and a tribute to James Forrest in amongst Brendan Rodgers' stuff today. As for Philippe Clement, the injury update for you Rangers fans, not quite so good. Abdallah Sima out for a couple of weeks. Tavernier and Goldson, as we alluded to, confident that they will be here next season. And talking about the record during his time at the club, pointing out that since he came in, they are the team with the most points accumulated. So get all your thoughts in on 01419511025. Might be nice to hear from some of you St Mirren fans, because you've got a fight of your own on, as Cammy says, for European football. Can you have a say in the title race on Sunday? The bottom six, well, it's going to be a matter of time, it looks like, for Livingston, but we'll see what happens tomorrow. Championship action tonight. What is not to like, Hugh Keevans?
No, exactly. There's no way of understating what comes now. Sunday, 12:30 kickoff, Paisley. I like the fact that Stephen Robinson has brought in his partner's mother to talk to the players about their anxieties, if any. Tony Docherty lies in wait for Celtic at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. He has been one of the outstanding success stories of the season. Dundee minus Joe Shaughnessy, their captain and inspiration, minus Owen Beck because of injury, but they are not undermined. They have been a terrific success story, getting into the top six. Rangers and Celtic face a very demanding day.
It's going to be one of those Sundays, Cammy, the time of the season where it just becomes a plain lie for players to say that they don't take notice of what other teams are doing or they only focus on themselves. It cannot be the case when it gets this close. Even the scheduling becomes interesting. Rangers go first because Celtic are the ones with the advantage. If Rangers were to slip up and Celtic were to take advantage later, you might say that's it, getting close to being over. Of course, that can be flipped the other way, and it's going to be blockbuster.
Yeah, it's going to be blockbuster. And listen, players, absolutely. I was obviously a player recently as well, and you're sitting there. The Celtic players will be watching the Rangers game on the telly before their game kicks off. That's only natural. And again, it does influence the way that Dundee game goes. And if Rangers were to drop any points, it gives that little bit more to Celtic. They know they can't drop any points, but it's a huge game for both clubs. But again, flip it on the other side, it's a big game for Dundee and St Mirren as well. They've got a number of things to play for. St Mirren last season had that experience of top six, and it kind of flopped away. They didn't really do much in the top six. Stephen Robinson spoke about that, and he says he's demanding of his players that they get European football. That's always been their aim. So it's going to be a tough game for Rangers on Sunday and Celtic up at Dundee.
I have booked a restaurant for 6:30 on Sunday. I need to leave you after 6 hours in your company. After these two play their matches, I need to sit down. I need to have a modest glass of red wine, Cammy. I need to get pampered.
Is that different from any other weekend? I'm not entirely sure. But anyway, 01419511025. Come on, Friday night, games to look forward to, a huge weekend. If we're talking on the pitch, the fixtures themselves, how about the team selection, Rangers fans? Does Conor Goldson come back into the team or not? Does he remain out? Does Leon Balogun and John Souter continue? Or does Conor Goldson come back in? Celtic fans, what are you feeling about the news about Daizen Maeda? How do you feel about the title race? Brendan Rodgers says this is the time when, as a club, you get your trophy heads on. Can the experience of being over the winning line a few times in recent seasons, or more than a few times, can that be beneficial? He's also called James Forrest a certified winner. Is it time for him to start leading the attack on the wide areas from the beginning, or is he going to continue in a super sub role like he did last weekend? All your thoughts, please, right now, if you can, on 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's hear a bit from the managers then. Let's kick off with Brendan Rodgers. He says the medical team is amazed at the speed of Daizen Maeda's recovery. He's back out training on the grass and could return to action next weekend.
The information that we were given was that he was probably going to be out for probably the remainder of the season, we felt that. But he's responded so well. He's obviously gone away and had further scans and ultrasound, and he's out on the pitch, and you would think he's never been away. So I was speaking to Tim, our head of our medical team, this morning, and he said any time here, it never fails to amaze him about in terms of his recovery and just his overall physicality. So, so he's getting nothing from the tendon issue that he felt after the game. So, which is great news, but there's still a few more steps to go through. But that would be great news for us.
Andrew McLean, our colleague, and myself and some others were in the reception area at Lennox Town today. Yeah. And I put this on Twitter. I think people thought I was joking, but I was serious. Daizen Maeda came through, and this was before we had spoken to Brendan Rodgers, and he went to go up the stairs, and we were kind of almost laughing, like, let's see, is he limping, sort of thing. Then he starts taking the stairs two at a time, and by the time he got to the end, he was in a mild jog up the stairs as if just to show off. Yeah. And say the stories are true.
He's clearly a physical specimen of a unique type, and Brendan Rodgers has in the past referred to Daizen as the instigator for Celtic, and I think with particular regard to the game against Rangers on the 11th of May, he is very important to Celtic in a psychological sense. The Celtic fans would feel better about having Daizen Maeda in the team against Rangers. They'd rather have him there than be left without him. So that's for another day, but he's not going to be there at Dens Park. But the certified winner is going to be at Dens Park, and I think it's time to acknowledge that to start a game with Yang and not James Forrest is simply not the right thing to do. They did it last weekend and it did not work.
Do you agree with that, Celtic fans? I know you're programmed to disagree with Hugh Keevans, but maybe some of you might on that point. Callers right now, Stuart is going to kick things off. Stuart, this is it. The post-split fixtures, five games to go. How do you feel?
Hey guys, I just want to see how good it is for Scottish football, that it's so tight and the two teams in the Scottish Cup final. It makes it really exciting. But what I'd like to see is a lot of Celtic fans are shouting the league is done. I remember Helicopter Sunday. I was in Firth Park that day, and it broke my heart. It took a long time to recover from that. You know, so the league's far from done. We go to Dundee on Sunday, and Dundee plays very, very well against Rangers. I was impressed with Dundee that day. I thought they played very well. So it's far from finished. I think there's a couple of twists and turns still to come. But the James Forrest one, I think James Forrest is good to come off the bench. I wouldn't start him in a game. But to come off the bench, he's nice to have on the bench. I just want to know what you think, yeah, guys.
Stuart's first point, though, like, there's always going to be some. I don't detect loads of Celtic fans shouting that the league is done. I mean, I think we've had one or two calls with a bit of bravado that stick in my mind over the last few weeks.
One said Celtic would win it by 10 points.
But yeah, I don't detect loads of that, because how could you? The numbers are still there.
Yeah, I mean, Stuart's absolutely right. Having been at Fir Park that day for Clyde, when Scott McDonald scored the two goals that cost Celtic the league, you can never be so presumptuous as to say, ah, the league's done. You know, Cammy was reminding me before we came in here tonight of the day that he played for Kilmarnock against Rangers. Rangers had to beat Kilmarnock to win the league, and Rangers were 3-0 after 10 minutes. Meanwhile, Celtic, I think, were playing Motherwell and were giving Motherwell a right going over, but it didn't matter. So that can happen. And anything can happen starting on Sunday. I would disagree with Stuart in one thing only. How anyone can look at Yang last Saturday and reckon that Celtic are better off leaving James Forrest on the bench as an impact sub, I don't know. Because James Forrest has now got to come in and bring to bear all of that experience that he has, and that he's won 22 trophies as a Celtic player. He has got to start at Dundee.
What do you think of that, Stuart? You know, I don't like to say it, but my esteemed colleague makes quite a convincing case, no?
No, I disagree with you. I think Palmer's better to come on to start the game than James Forrest. As I say, nice to have him on the bench and to bring him on. That's just my opinion. We've all got entitled to opinions. Hugh's entitled to his, I'm entitled to mine.
Absolutely. I just think Palmer's another show pony. You can have Yang, Palmer, for me.
But then one of them will need to play, even if James Forrest did, no? Well, so you playing Yang and Palmer? Am I missing someone?
No, I just think that.
No, I'm talking to William, sorry. So you, Yang and Palmer, William?
Stuart, sorry.
Yeah, Kuhn and Palmer.
Oh, I did forget about Nicholas Kuhn. I knew I'd forgotten about someone. Yeah. Let's hear that clip then that kind of adds to this a bit today, because I know William, who's on the other line, hence me getting the name wrong, has got some thoughts on it. Brendan Rodgers says James Forrest is a certified winner. He's praising his experience and pointing out that the team cannot afford to relax in the title race.
Very, very important. I think that he's a certified winner. He knows what it takes, and having someone of him and his ability and just stature around the team is very important at this stage. So I think you've seen it in a number of the cameos he's produced recently. He didn't get so much game time in parts of this season that maybe he felt he maybe deserved. You know, we were giving other players a chance that were brought in. But the longer it goes on, you see really his qualities and what he brings to the team. And I think that his mindset, as well as what he brings to the pitch and that calmness, as well as the quality, that'll be really important for us.
William, what do you think?
I totally disagree with the last caller.
That means you agree with Hugh Keevans, though.
Exactly. Mm. For once I do.
Go on, William.
I think Brendan Rodgers waxing lyrical about James Forrest. Best winner at the club. The cone last week made an impact, yep. Now he's waxing lyrical again today. He should start to the start, in my opinion. He's a serial winner for Celtic Football Club.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the word cameo was in there when Brendan was speaking, which tends to make me think that Brendan Rodgers sees him as maybe not a starter. But I do think he was brought on last week when it was patently obvious that Yang wasn't going to do very much. And it was 1-1, and Celtic in general weren't doing very much. I wouldn't like to think that Brendan Rodgers would be bringing James Forrest on Sunday because Dundee were in the ascendancy or something else had happened and it was necessary to bring James Forrest on to salvage something. I think better to have James Forrest on from the start to create something.
What do you think, Cammy? For anyone who's seen the full press conference, Brendan Rodgers was waxing lyrical for ages because he was asked lots of questions about him, saying he's, even when he went down south, he made no secret of telling anyone that he's the best, not one of, he's the best he's ever worked with at taking the ball tight to the touchline and looking after it and so on and so forth. He did say that's never in doubt. When you get to a certain age, and he's only, what, 31, 32, by the way, it's about the intensity of modern football, and that's why he doesn't start that many games, basically.
Yeah, listen, I think James Forrest got a huge amount still to offer. I think what's hampered him in his career was he had a lot of injuries early on in his career, and that's probably slowed him down and maybe plays part in where he is at the moment and how consistent he can play. But yeah, listen, I think when you look at Yang, I do believe as well, I would be playing James Forrest in these games at this moment in time, because one word that Brendan Rodgers used there was calmness, a calmness he'll bring into the team, the squad. There's a lot of pressure in these games, a lot of expectations from the Celtic fans, and he's got that experience. He's been there and done it a number of times. He's been in games where you need to win, and I just feel as if he's still got the quality for this league and for Celtic to be starting a game. Whether he lasts a full game, that again, he's probably not had enough game time this season to continuously start games, but I still think he's so important for them.
Do you think, William, he can play a big part in pushing Celtic towards that title?
100%, Gordon.
Well, that's why he's got to play on Sunday then, for me.
Does that then take the pressure off? Say Yang, he seems to be the one that got the most criticism last week. Uh-huh. It does feel like some of his best stuff has come from the bench. Yep. So maybe that takes a bit of the pressure off him to kind of come on, unless, right enough, the game isn't going to plan.
I think if Celtic are at home, then Yang has a better chance. Likewise, Louis Palmer. But they're away. They're away on a dodgy pitch. They're away in front of a Dundee support who are galvanised under Tony Docherty. And everyone knows that by then, Rangers, for me, will have beaten St Mirren and the teams are level on points. Under those circumstances, I think there is more of a chance that a Yang or a Nicholas Kuhn or a Palmer withdraw into themselves. The pressure becomes a little bit too much for them, but not James Forrest.
Thank you very much to William. 01419511025. Keep that debate going if you want. I'd like to hear as many thoughts as possible. What about you, Rangers fans, then? The news that Abdallah Sima will be missing for a couple of weeks. How damaging is that? Philippe Clement expects James Tavernier and Conor Goldson to be Rangers players next season. What do you make of that? And the manager has been pointing out that people shouldn't forget, in the last 6 months since he's been here, Rangers have won more points than anyone else. What do you make of that? Get your calls in and we'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are here. They're building up to a huge weekend of Scottish football. Can you believe the season is nearly finished? Another quick one, but the prizes at the top have still to be dished out. So get your calls in, please. Mark is a Celtic fan on the line. How are you, Mark?
Hi, I'm fine. Good evening, gents. How are you?
All good in here. What are you thinking tonight?
I was just listening to the show and talking about the width that Celtic have or don't have, or the quality in that area, really. And it's been the kind of story of our season so far. We've got ourselves into a position where we're back in the lead, but I think that's Celtic's biggest problem is the width. I don't think they have enough quality there, and James Forrest has had a fantastic career and he's clearly a good footballer. But we're asking him to go to the well again, to get us over the line or to get us to create chances for us, because the guys we've brought in this season maybe have to hit the ground running, or for one reason or another it hasn't worked out. And I'm hoping that at the end of the season that's an area along with the left back area that's strengthened. But I would start with James Forrest tomorrow. That's why I agree with you, actually, to be honest with you.
So you think from the start then, and allow him to try and do what he did last week from the start, and if he needs to come off, Brendan Rodgers is making it clear he doesn't think he's up to the intensity levels, but you think he's still a better option than everyone else, basically?
I don't think, if I'm going to be honest, I don't think Yang is a left winger whatsoever. I know they can, nowadays they both can play both sides, but I thought he'd be far more productive on the right hand side. He's had a couple of wee niggles recently, which he's clearly been off it. And he's got a lot to, he's still very young, he's got a lot to prove. But James Forrest looks after the ball a lot better. You can see that last weekend when they brought him on, and they only brought him on but I think it was early on the second half, if I'm right, you know. And he looked like he was in control. He didn't lose much. He didn't give the ball away that much, you know. He's quite proactive. He's very experienced. It's just whether or not he's got the legs to keep going for that amount of time, like, you know.
It felt like there was a slight, I was going to say digging, maybe that's unfair, but in amongst talking about how well James Forrest looks after the ball, Brendan Rodgers said, I mean, look at the goals we conceded last week. They come from creative players giving the ball away. Yeah. And I was thinking the one where Lewis Palma's breaking up the pitch. Yep, he gives it back to Aberdeen, out wide, crossed in. So maybe that side of the game is the bit that we overlook, you know, because it's easy to think of wingers, right, okay, beat your man, get a cross in, set up a goal. But maybe the kind of overall moments where you just need to look after the ball a bit better.
Yeah, I think Brendan Rodgers, the way that his team's set up and play, is keeping the ball. And again, wingers are going to lose the ball because they've got to take players on, try and create things. But again, James Forrest will pick and choose his moments at the right time, when to take players on, when it's on to go down the line and try and beat somebody. Whereas the other guys, Yang, Kuhn, at the moment they feel a little bit inexperienced, certainly within Scottish football. Whereas James Forrest has been there and done it. And I think Mark's right that it is an area that is a problem for Celtic. There's been a lot of inconsistency from any of the guys that have played there. James Forrest hasn't had the game time, but he's, again, Celtic are looking at sort of relying on him at the end of the season to try and get them over the line because of the inconsistency of the guys they've brought in.
It's now, Cammy, it's now about the strength of mentality.
Yeah, totally.
And we had a caller on Wednesday who tried his best to make Nicholas Kuhn sound like Jimmy Johnston, but stats didn't bear out what he was saying. Kuhn, Yang, Palmer, I'll take James Forrest's strength of mentality over theirs right now, because there are 5 games left. The draw is a disaster, the defeat is a catastrophe, and James Forrest has a strength of mentality based on 22 trophy winning experiences.
This uncertainty over the wide areas that you have, Mark, is that enough to worry you about the destination of the title, or do you expect Celtic to get this over the line?
I'm hoping it's more hope than anything else that Celtic get over the line. I mean, right up until the Aberdeen game, I thought Celtic had been starting to play some really good football again. And then they actually did play some good football at the Aberdeen game, but they got caught cold, which is unlike them. You know, and you can't really get, well, this season especially, I haven't really seen a 90-minute performance the whole way through from Celtic yet, you know. So I still think we've got a really good chance to win it. It's in our hands, isn't it? You know, we've got to go and win the games. And maybe Hugh is right. I can't believe I'm actually agreeing with Hugh twice in the same show. It's all about pressure, you know. It's all about handling the pressure now. And hopefully the Celtic players that are there last couple of years have got that wee bit of experience and they know how to do it. So that's, fingers crossed, like, you know.
Well, Brendan Rodgers is certainly hoping that mentality, that experience, plays out as well. He says it's the time of the season when Celtic get their trophy heads on. He believes the team are well aware of what they need to produce in the next few weeks.
This is the period where you got to get your trophy head on, and you get your focus on what it takes to become a champion. And the players here are well versed in that. They understand the mindset. They understand the psychological traits that's needed at this stage. Physically, you've done a lot of your work. Yeah, you might have one or two players that may be looking to get back in or up to speed, but in the main, it's all psychological now, and this is the part of the season where this team have been very, very good, and this club have been exceptional. So, but you have to do it, and that's that'll be our focus each game at a time now, starting at Dundee.
I think it's mind games now with Brendan and Philippe Clement. I think they're saying things to the press that they know will carry on to the wider world of the spectators, the fans. Brendan tried it last week with this is when Celtic come alive. The words weren't quite borne out by Celtic's performance against Aberdeen in the Cup. And now,
was it after the St Mirren game though? Was it not when he said it?
Yeah.
And then Rangers,
and then Rangers
lost
dropped
the yeah. next yeah. drop points. Yeah.
But
he's
gone from come alive to trophy heads. The players on the park have got to be as eloquent with their feet as he is with his mouth.
Okay, let's bring in Archie, who's a Rangers fan on the line. Archie, how are you?
I'm good, yourselves?
Good. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, I sent you a message, a private DM, Gordon, a couple of weeks ago, an Instagram show with an exclusive about Tav going to Saudi. So I'm just going to that. I was watching a wee bit of Scottish news there. So I know for 110% that he's going to Saudi.
So if I hadn't missed your message, I could have broke this exclusive weeks ago.
Yeah, but the thing is, you need to get because you're no friend on Instagram, you need to go to the quest that obviously
get a lot of I try not to look in there too often, Archie. That's where the dodgy stuff lurks. That's where the abuse lurks. Although Instagram is much kinder than Twitter, it has to be said. Certainly wouldn't look at the requests folder on Twitter. Oh my word, no. Right, come on then. I know you won't burn your sources, as they say, but you reckon you've got it sussed at Tavern. You're definitely going to Saudi. How did you know this a couple of weeks ago? Give us the backstory.
Let's just say his missus is telling tales out of school.
Okay. Wow.
James will be very happy. Mrs. Tavernier.
It's Mrs. Tavernier's been telling people, and it's got back to Archie. That is what this show was made for. Stuff like this.
She's booked us flights to Saudi, hasn't she?
That's what this city's like. I have no doubt. But believe me, James will not be happy with you, Archie. On you go.
Mrs. Tavernier's asking people to come and see them in Riyadh from next season, and Archie's got wind of it. So you're pretty certain, Archie?
Do you know what? A word's worth that's we're going to be set up for life. That was a word.
Oh, right. This show does test you. I don't really know what I'm like legally obliged to say. I think like that is Archie's take on things. I don't want Mrs. Tavernier thinking we're misrepresenting our words.
No.
But I think
it is alleged. It is alleged that Mrs. Tavernier happened to say something that was indiscreet. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, everyone in the city of Glasgow would do what James Tavernier will do if the offer is made concrete. They would go. Because
so much goes into it though. Does a fee get offered for James Tavernier that is to Rangers' liking? I know generally Saudi clubs have been throwing some funny money around. I don't think they're one of the clubs that's going to have the totally crazy amounts. That still might mean that they're able to offer more than you'd get from the English Championship
the
or whatever.
If James Tavernier saw out his contract in full at Ibrox, he'd then be around the 33-34 mark, and Rangers would get no fee. Because he'd go back down south to somewhere or other.
Oh yeah, but Philippe Clement has to assess what he's worth to keep him though.
Absolutely. And listen, James Tavernier's set here. He's happy within Glasgow. He's happy at Rangers. I know that. But again,
Mrs. Tavernier tell you?
No. See, Cammy does know them as well.
No,
so you'll need
but
to ask
again, he is very happy at Rangers. I think he's seen his career finishing at Rangers certainly at one point, and whether he still does, I'm unsure. But again, these offers come in. And it will be up to Rangers. It'll be up to the club rather than the player. At the end of the day, he's got 2 years left. They'll have to offer enough money that Rangers see it as a good deal for them. Yes, he's an age of 32 at the moment. So the value, I know there was a caller said 10 million. They're not going to get 10 million for him. I think a value of 3 or 4 million possibly would be what they would probably market at the moment. But yeah, listen, it's going to be up to Rangers, absolutely up to Rangers. And if then Rangers accept, you would probably say that the money that will be on offer over there will again be life-changing to him and his family. And it might be an opportunity he wants to go and see, again, different part of the world, play football elsewhere. But I know for a fact he's happy at
Rangers.
Well,
Archie, this is what the manager had to say today. He does expect James Tavernier, Conor Goldson to be at Rangers next season, despite those moves that we are hearing rumours of.
I didn't hear Stephen. Yeah, I expect them to be here next season, yes. That's my expectation. No, there's no reason my players come to speak with me about that if they have doubts or if they want to go or if they're out of contract. So we have that relationship. If I need to speak with every player where there's a rumour about, then we will not trade too much, I think. Or I cannot speak about a lot of interesting things because there are so many rumours in the world now and so many fake news also.
Archie, then let's be hypothetical. Your exclusive does come to fruition. You think is that the right move for Rangers? You think that's something that the club should consider if the fee's right or not? What do you think?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I don't want to get in and put the boy down too much. Obviously, Hugh Keane, I was listening to Gordon Dale, I think it was Wednesday, whatever day he was on. And I've said this a million times, he's been captain since 2018. There's been 19 trophies played for. He's won 3 as a Rangers captain. Now, if anybody anybody in Scotland thinks that winning three trophies out of 19 is acceptable as a Rangers captain and a leader. It's the same crap every year. Never mind the goals. The goals are exceptional. But goals don't win you trophies. They haven't won his trophies.
But in terms of him individually, though, does it not just mean that he's been in the second best team in the country all that time? Is that not really what this is? Like, there will be loads of players across the world who are good players, but they don't win much because they're not playing for good teams.
But he's the captain. The thing is, for me, I would love to keep him, but I don't want him as captain. I think we need a proper captain at Rangers again. I think the problem is, see this at the tail end of the season, the same crap's happening. You know, for me, he's not got that leadership. He's not got that driving the team forward. So every single year, apart from when there was no fans, it's the exact same thing year after. He's won one league title since he's been captain, 2018. Why is he still captain?
No, but that's what I'm asking. Is that his fault? I accept that that's a fact, but is it his fault? Or has he just been in a team that's been not as good as Celtic for most of his career?
It's a club. For me, it's a club as a whole that, right. I think Rangers for years have accepted something that we aren't. I think we've, even guys like Steven Gerrard beating him as captain. Why is somebody who is a serial loser when it comes to trophies still a captain?
I come at it from a business perspective, and I think that Philippe Clement will want to carry out a massive rebuild of Rangers next season. If Rangers get money, multi-million pound offer, I'm talking about two or three, possibly four. I'm not talking about the silly money. But if Rangers get 2 or 3 or 4 million for James Tavernier, it would be exceptional business for a 32-year-old man for whom time
two,
is
two
running out.
Wouldn't be exceptional business, so would it? Your club captain, you're taking 25 goals a season out of your team.
Incredible.
I'm not saying it's...
He's got no sale on value at all.
But when you get
other than Saudi,
right now, no. Rangers aren't thinking about sale. Like, that's not part of the plan for James Tavernier, because he is 32. He is the captain. If you get money, it becomes a bonus. But I don't think they're sitting right now thinking that you'd be actively pursuing a move to sell him on. That's not what he's there for, really, is it?
No. I think he's there for what he brings to the team. And listen, Archie's having a go at him and saying he's not. The trophies that he's not won. Yes, he's not won trophies. He can't win trophies. He sells. It's the team. It's the manager. It's the players around him. And yeah, I think he gets a hard time at Rangers. I think he's been fantastic for them. And for me, he leads in a different way from other previous Rangers captains.
Gary's on Twitter. He says, "Tell Archie Rangers have had a substandard squad since Tav came into Rangers. He's done well to get what he's got." 0141 951 1025. What do you think, Rangers fans or anyone else that's got an opinion? Why don't you share it right now whilst I tell you about this?
Clyde One.
£1 million make me a winner.
Win your share of £1 million.
Make me a winner.
It took us three calls before we got our guaranteed winner on today's Make Me a Winner call. But we did get there in the end. AJ picked up within five rings, said those magic words, "Make me a winner," and bagged himself £200,000. Saudi Arabia money, you could say. What's that, like a day's wage or something? Anyway, he says he's going to pay off his mortgage, help out his poorly mum as well. A great story. So just imagine if you're out there and you're one of those two people with that missed call after 3 p.m. Chuck that phone away and make sure you never make that mistake again. Huge thank you if you've played £1 million Make Me a Winner so far, because you've also helped us support Cash for Kids this summer. Over 15,000 children are going to get a meal during the holidays, all thanks to you. The competition does keep changing lives in more ways than one, and there is another 100,000 up for grabs on our next call on Monday. So text yes to 61025, text for £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this network competition are on the website. And if you get the call after 3 p.m. on Monday, make sure you answer within five rings and say "Make me a winner" straight away. £100,000 up for grabs. Good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are here. I spent the break going through my Instagram DM folder just to see if there are any other transfer exclusives that I've missed out on. I want to hear from a Mrs. Tavern. I'm not kidding. Anyway, 0141 951 1025 is the number you need, or you can tweet away until your heart's content at Clyde SSB. Lots of people just, you know, the old sort of Chuck Norris jokes that used to go around. Do you know what that is, Hugh? No, wasting you. So people are now replying with the equivalent about Daisy and Maeda. So as an example, Tarbash says the inventor of the mobile phone switched the prototype on and had two missed calls from Daisy and Maeda. Portboy says when the boogeyman goes to sleep, he checks his closet for Daisy and Maeda. You know, it's along those those lines. Daisy and Maeda once won a drifting championship driving Fred Flintstone's car. I don't know, it's getting slightly out of hand, I would say. But clearly there's an excitement that his fitness may be on the up for Celtic fans.
There's no way of downgrading the news, because it's very, very good news for Celtic if Daisy and Maeda returns for the game against Hearts. But first of all, we are in a world of one game at a time now, and Celtic have got to get past Dundee.
So that's for managers and players. Managers, very unlike you.
The last five.
No, you will not stick to that. You'll have that broken by 7:10. You are always, I mean, if they lose this one and then see if they were to lose the next week and then lose the one after that, I'm telling you, the manager will be gone.
Even I one understand that it has to be. There are five games left. They're both away on Sunday, and twists and turns of fate.
Right. You help me hold him to that, okay? He is promising to take one game at a time. We all know that ain't going to happen, so remind him when he breaks it inevitably in the next 5 minutes. Anyway, Ian is in the city centre. Ian, we've been talking Tavernier and Goldson and how much you'd want to keep them or whatever. What's your take on it?
I really think it's time up for the two of them. I think it would be best for both of them and Rangers if they get a decent kind of sum of money for them and let them go and thank them for their services, because, I mean, I'm definitely not. I've always been a Tav fan. He has frustrated me. Like, he's frustrated a lot of fans at times when he's defending, and that's not the reason I'm wanting him to go. I'm just thinking he's 32 now. Maybe he needs a new challenge, and we need a new person in his position. And Conor Goldson is looking a bit jaded as well. And I don't see the point in, if we get good money, decent money, maybe about 4.5-5 million for Tav, and I don't know what we would get for Goldson, of anything, but I just think it's time to freshen things up at the back.
Would you bring Conor Goldson back into the team this weekend, or would you leave him out?
No, I would definitely leave him out. I don't think it's fair. Would you cut on Balogun? Because I think he played really well when he came in, and have you put Conor Goldson back in again and he plays like he's been playing, I think it really puts the manager in a tough position. I think he needs a rest. He definitely needs a rest. The manager
could always drop John Souter. What do you expect to happen? Because that's going to be the bit of team news that everyone's interested in on Sunday.
I think he sticks with Balogun. I think Balogun done really well.
But with Souter though?
I think Goldson stays out. I think he needs time out with the firing line at the moment. He looks a little bit tired, probably mentally as well tired. Listen, I think the Goldson, it's probably, I do like him. I still think he's got something to offer Rangers, but I do think in the summer Clement will look to bring in another centre half, if not two, because I don't think Balogun's a long term solution either. I think
he's a bit older, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. But again, you look at getting rid of Goldson and Tav, and then you've got Yilmaz is fairly new into the team. You've got potentially, I don't want to say it, but Jack Butland could leave in the summer if there's a big money offer. So it's a real disruption to the back line there. And it's a lot of surgery that needs done if certainly a number of players were to go and leave the club. But I think Goldson possibly will leave. I don't know so much on Tav. I think there's still definitely time left.
But it's an interesting expression that you use, Cammy, out of the firing line. I think James Tavernier is in 9 years here. He has had 9 years in our particular unique environment. I think if the offer is nailed on, I think he wants to go.
Cammy's telling you he likes it here.
Yeah, of course. He'd been here 9 years. That vouches for his affection for the place. But 9 years in the Old Firm world is 18 years anywhere else. And if that particular opportunity came up, I don't see it as a challenge at all. I think the football there is rubbish, and Steven Gerrard is seventh in a 16-team league. There's no challenge. But there is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
My big thing is, as well, is listen, see if you're wanting to move James Tavernier, you need to have a replacement. You need to have somebody that's better than James Tavernier coming into the club. So, and that's not easy to do. Again, yes, his numbers are incredible going forward. There's always been question marks of his defensive-minded duties. But I just think that replacement isn't an easy one to find for the manager. So, sometimes I just think that some fans look at it and think it's an easy replacement, but it's not.
I think what's interesting as well, to throw another name in, see Twitter rumour at this stage about John Lundstrom as well.
Yeah.
For Trabzonspor, I think. And Philippe Clement was asked about that today. He said the contract situation is no further forward. Offers have been made. And, you know, they would kind of need to wait and see. I am paraphrasing. I don't know for sure, but I would guess. So Lundstrom, Tavernier, Goldson, three out of the top five earners, certainly. Yeah, maybe even the top three, but three out of the top four, five, you would have to say. Lundstrom's different because his contract is up. So what does that offer look like? Is it presumably on... is it on reduced terms? Does John Lundstrom think that the next contract means there has to be a higher wage offer? And these are the bits that we won't really know.
Football's a two-way street. We are talking about the possibility of them going. There's a possibility that Rangers will just run out of time with them anyway. You know, they're taking advantage of an opportunity that has arisen.
Yeah, but Tavernier and Goldson's different. They're under contract. Yeah. There needs to be a fee to allow them to leave.
But Lundstrom... Rangers can't give him a wage increase. I mean, he's already on fantastic money, and I don't see Rangers increasing it. So he's perfectly entitled then to exercise his contractual right to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I think John Lindstrom's an interesting one. I believe that if he was wanting to stay at Rangers, he would have signed by now a contract. But again, I just put myself in a player's shoes at this moment in time, that I think if you were willing to stay at the club, you would have probably went and negotiated. You'll know what their maximum budget is and what you're going to get out of them pretty soon within the first one or two offers. And then if it's not there, you're obviously, your agent or whoever else will be looking elsewhere, and there'll be other offers on the table. So yeah, it's going to be I think there's going to be a big turnaround in the summer. I think Rangers need it as well, though. I think there's a freshness needed to the whole squad and the whole club at this moment in time.
Well, it's going to be an interesting summer by the sounds of it. Thank you to Ian. It's the perfect time of the night for you to call in, because we're going to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Your last chance this week to win a signed ball and humiliate Cammy Bell or Hugh Keevans in the process. Don't say we're not good to you, giving you that opportunity. You do need to call before 7 o'clock though on 0141 951 1025. Get in touch.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are here at 01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. We have been hearing from Philippe Clement and Brendan Rodgers. Brendan Rodgers talking about Daizen Maeda's seemingly miraculous recovery from injury. Talking about James Forrest. Should he start games for Celtic between now and the end of the season? Philippe Clement gave us the latest in his mind on the future of James Tavernier and Conor Goldson amid that speculation that they're going to head off and join Steven Gerrard. So keep your thoughts coming on all of those. What about Abdallah Sima's injury? Rangers fans, how big a blow is that? Who would you replace him with? What does the team look like this weekend? We've got a good clip from Brendan Rodgers on the kit man. Not a topic that we cover too often here, but those of you who've seen the video will know why. And what about the rest of you, St Mirren fans? You've got Europe on your mind. Can you do the business on Sunday? Stephen Robinson says you're looking for a marquee result this season. Could this be it? Why not give us a call and anyone else who's out there, because it is a big weekend across the board. So get in touch and we'll speak to you after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. It's been quite an interesting week. Jim Duffy got a 1-0 defeat on Wednesday night. So it's been up and down for the pundits. I think we had a couple of 10s from the pundits. We've had a 0 from the pundits. Who knows what you're going to get tonight. I think we've got the contestant lined up. We do. It's Chris from Ayr. How are you, Chris?
How are we doing, Gordon? Cammy, Hugh, how are we doing?
Good, thanks.
How are we doing, Chris?
Are you an Ayr United fan, Chris?
Yes, I am.
So we could get the old kind of Ayrshire derby. You against Cammy Bell.
It's potential.
How would you sum up the season your team's had?
Transitional.
Good word. Yeah, I was about to say good word.
Very good.
I think it's fair as well.
High hopes for next season.
Definitely. I think when Scott Brown gets a pre-season under his belt, who knows where we could go.
Yeah, well, we'll find out.
It's definitely positive running about the club now, that's for sure.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. Let's see if it's positive on Beat the Pundit. Heads, it'll be Hugh Keevans. Tails, it'll be Cammy Bell. And it is the Ayrshire derby as well. It's Tails, Cammy Bell up against Chris from Ayr. So what we do here is give Cammy some greatest hits radio to listen to. We turn it up nice and loud so that he can't hear us. And then we get your questions ready, Chris. You know the drill, just to double check. If you don't know the answer, pass and move on to the next one, okay?
Go for it.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. The last Beat the Pundit of the week. And your time starts now. Bojan Miovski represents which country?
Pass.
Name any team in the promotion playoff spots in the championship.
Partick.
Who do Celtic women play in the Scottish Cup semi-final this weekend?
Hearts.
How many teams make up the SPFL?
36.
Who is Sead Haksabanovic on loan to from Celtic?
Pass.
Who made more appearances for Rangers, Carlos Cuellar or John Fleck?
Carlos Cuellar.
Which SPFL Premiership team's stadium is on Green Hill Road?
Let's
guess one. Quite a tough question, I have to say. Let's bring back Cammy Bell. Can you hear us, Cammy? Yeah, you got us.
Yeah, got you.
Oh, Donny Marie saying paper roses. He's right. I'm joking.
Was it actually?
No.
I was going to say. Oh, a stitch up. That would have been. Honestly, right. Quite tough tonight, I think. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Bojan Miovski represents which country?
Slovakia.
Name any team in the promotion playoff spots in the championship.
Airdrie.
Who do Celtic women play in the Scottish
Rangers
Cup semi-final this weekend? How many teams make up the SPFL?
42.
Who is Sead Haksabanovic on loan to
Stoke.
From Celtic? Who made more Rangers appearances, Carlos Cuellar or John Fleck?
Carlos Cuellar.
Which SPFL Premiership team's stadium is on Green Hill Road?
St Mirren.
How many Rangers and Celtic players were named in the team of the year? But quickly, don't count them.
I don't know. Four.
Okay. Chris, have you done enough to win the Ayrshire derby?
Doubt it. I think he's done, mate.
Doubt it. That's never good. Bojan Miovski?
North Macedonia.
North Macedonia.
I could see the flag. I just couldn't get my words out.
That's the problem.
Didn't want to spend too much time in that.
Just get a guess out there and move on. Will he be in the four-man shortlist for PFA Player
for sure.
of the Year?
For sure.
Got to be.
I thought you'd left him out of yours.
Had you?
That was an oversight.
I asked you to pick four the other night and you went O'Reilly, Shankland, Tavernier and Butland.
Yeah.
So what do you mean for sure?
And then as soon as Jim Duffy put
what's
down,
he done this week that's changed your mind?
Right, so which
Jim,
one?
Jim Duffy wrote down Miovski.
So which
I thought,
one?
I forgot about him.
So which one out of those four is dropping out?
Butland.
Oh, I wouldn't be so sure. We'll find out on Monday. What do you think? Out of curiosity.
Who drops out of them?
No, who's in the four?
Miovski, Shankland, Butland and O'Reilly.
Okay. Anyway, it is North Macedonia. Name any team in the promotion playoff spots, Raith, Partick, Thistle or Airdrie. You both got it, so it is one all. Rangers are Celtic's opponents in the Women's Scottish Cup semi, so Cammy goes one up. I think you knew this one, Chris, afterwards. 42 teams in the SPFL.
I don't know where I get.
Cammy's heading off into the Ayrshire sunset here because Haksabanovic is on loan at Stoke. You hung in there, Chris. Carlos Cuellar has three more Rangers appearances than John Fleck, 60 to 57. So you were hanging in there. I thought this one was tough. I mean, I know it because I go there semi often and I was there yesterday. But if you're not from this part of the world, Green Hill Road is St Mirren. And so when Cammy started getting them,
that was a guess, by the way.
Tough to keep up. Was it really?
Yeah, real. Honestly, guessed none about that.
Oh,
I just
my
guessed
word
it.
How lucky can he be? Right. And for the record, seven Rangers and Celtic players in the team of the year. Four is very low. Think about it.
Listen, you gave me no time, so I just threw any number.
Chris, I am afraid it is a 6-2 win for Cammy Bell.
Oh, well done.
Unlucky, Chris.
Unlucky, Chris.
Best performance of the season. my statistician in my ear tells me.
Yeah. What's my percentage?
I have no idea.
Okay.
They'll tell me in a second, so I'll just keep talking long enough for them to get that.
They'll need to work that one out, though.
Is that like Ayrshire Natural Order Restored or whatever?
It's been restored for a long time, to be honest.
67%, which means you just below Hugh Keevans. Another victory might take you up there. So
I'm happy with 67.
Right.
Okay.
It's okay. It's okay. 0141 951 1025. Thanks to Chris on the line. Lots of good stuff happening this weekend. Of course, the title race does move you above Marv, though.
Oh, yes.
That's good news. That's very good news.
Marv's got a lot to think about.
Yeah, he does.
Time,
he's busy. He's a busy man. Lots going on this weekend. I know the title race, understandably, takes a lot of our focus, but that's why I'm keen to hear from you, St Mirren fans, and Dundee fans, if you're out there, because that's why these two fixtures are so interesting. It's not like it's just about the title race. It's going to be a shootout between you two, presumably, for that fifth place, that last remaining European spot. So how do you feel? Get your calls in right now. At the bottom, I would assume everybody's just waiting and trying to predict which week it happens for Livy. But above that, how interesting is that going to be? So much intrigue around Aberdeen. They're waiting on a new manager. They surprise everybody by running Celtic so close last week, but realistically, they still could be doing with another result, just to be sure. I think most people are semi-sure, but Motherwell tomorrow, Cammy, at Pittodrie.
Yeah, it's an interesting game, because I feel Aberdeen, they're just a strange team at the moment. I think they really need the points. They need to take that pressure off. But again, Motherwell, Stuart Kettle will have them up for it. He'll want to finish in that seventh position. I know what he's like as a manager and as a person, very determined to finish as high as he can. It's going to be a difficult game for Aberdeen. It's probably not one they would have wanted to kick off their bottom six run of games.
Difficult day for St Johnstone. They're at home to Hibs, who are hopeless. But
they beat them recently, Hugh.
Yeah. But so, Libby, who are doomed, and it could be tomorrow. Ross County, you know, if Ross County were to get a win at Libby, St Johnstone had better get a win against Hibs. But I think Nick Montgomery, out of these five games that he has left, he'd better win the majority of them, or I don't think he'll be the Hibs manager next season.
Listen, St Johnstone win and Ross County win and Motherwell were to beat Aberdeen, it drags them right back into it, and it becomes really, really tight. And again, these teams, I've said it before, Ross County, St Johnstone, they've been in this position before. Aberdeen haven't. I don't know if they've got the players that can handle that fight and pressure. So they'll want to get the job done tomorrow to take this all away from it.
Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers. Going to bring in Stephen and Kirk and Tillich in just a second. I'm assuming it's not Stephen, Celtic's kit man, because Brendan Rodgers says the kit man needs to know his place after the Celtic boss was caught giving him a dressing down before penalties at the weekend.
Don't let your kit man near them. Stevie got a wee bit of a blast from me, didn't he? Bless him. He's a good guy, Stevie, right? He's Celtic daft, he's Celtic mad. But you got to know your place.
It was quite so. For anyone who's not seen the viral video, I'm sure you have. It's before the penalties. The kit man wanders over to Paolo Bernardo. I've no idea what he's saying, quite frankly. I might have just been asking him how his day was, but Brendan Rodgers tells him in no uncertain terms to do one, as you can hear. And it sounds like Brendan Rodgers quite enjoyed all that. Yeah. There was the manic laugh in there and the bless him. There was quite a few.
Yeah. I knew Stevie before he was the kit man. He used to work the press security room at Celtic. Yeah. So he is a big Celtic man. But that expression, know your place, some people might find that insulting, but I think this is major stuff here. This is a cup tie, Celtic trying to win a double, and it's the manager's prerogative to take charge of things on the trackside. But it shows that everyone is in the fight, so, you know,
sounds
down, Stevie,
like he quite enjoyed that exchange, though, Brendan Rodgers, didn't he?
Yeah, listen, emotions would be running very high when you're going into a penalty shootout. You know what's at stake, the pressure's on Brendan Rodgers and his Celtic team, so he would have want full focus on his players when he was in that huddle there. So, yeah, listen, Stevie, I'm pretty sure he'll not be doing that again.
Yeah, not ideal. Not ideal. Anyway, 01419511025. His namesake is on the line. How are you, Stephen? You're not Celtic's kit man, are you?
No. But I do love them. You know what I mean? But I'm not the kit man.
Well, how are you feeling then? Five games to go. Title race. What are you thinking?
Well, listen, on the title race, genuinely, I believe that I don't think any of the two clubs can definitively say that title's coming to them. You know, both of these teams have showed complacency throughout the season. Celtic had this title supposedly in the bag and handed it to Rangers in December. Rangers supposedly had the title in the bag and handed it to Celtic at the end of this month. So, I mean, nothing should be took for granted. I mean, these two teams have shown that they have the ability to drop points, you know. So, I would say that Celtic are marginal favourites because of the 3 points that they're ahead and the home advantage in the next derby, you know. But I wouldn't be celebrating until it's mathematically impossible for somebody not to win it. Do you know what I mean? I think that's the way that most level-headed fans will be approaching it, you know?
Stephen, common sense from start to finish there.
Yeah, no time for it.
No one can say definitively, and that's absolutely correct. And when he said that Celtic were marginal favourites, I hate to break it to Stephen, but that was the word that I used when I think it was Simon Donnelly who said that Celtic were big favourites. And I said, not big favourites, marginal favourites. And that's right. And the point that Stephen makes about how it's bounced backwards and forwards, it was going Rangers' way until the mighty Motherwell went to Ibrox. And you take the 3 points that Rangers lost to Motherwell, the two they dropped to Celtic, the three they dropped to Ross County, and the two they left behind at Dundee. Those 10 points lost have changed the complexion yet again. And, you know, as people always say, if you'd offered Celtic a 3-point lead, 5 games to go, 3 at home, including Rangers, Brendan Rodgers would have to have said, OK, I'll take it.
When was the offer?
The offer, if it was made at the start of the season.
I think so.
Yeah.
At the start of the season, maybe. You've offered them that in October, then maybe we'd say, oh, I don't think so. I think we'll be more comfortable than that.
But that, as
maybe the manager wouldn't, but a lot of fans.
It's ping pong. It's gone ping pong.
That's why this weekend's so crucial though, Cammy, because Stephen says no one could really celebrate until it's arithmetically impossible for the other to win. But I do feel like this weekend, because Celtic have the advantage, I keep saying this, and know that Rangers might win and Celtic might drop points, but because Rangers in the, because Celtic are in the driving seat, if Rangers don't get it right this weekend and Celtic do, it won't be over arithmetically, but I think for a lot of people it will be.
Listen, for me, Rangers have got no room for error now. They've had their blip, which came in quick succession, the loss to Ross County and then the drop points and draw at Dundee. That's their blip. They can't have any more between now and the end of the season, and they're going to need an almighty performance at Celtic Park as well in there. So it's much more difficult for Rangers than it is Celtic. But again, there's some really tough games in there. I think when you look at the fixtures, the 15th of May for Celtic's a big, big game away to Kilmarnock. This season they've not had great success there. Kilmarnock are high flying at the moment. It's such a difficult place for them to go. So I think there's going to be a lot of twists and turns. But you're right enough in saying that Rangers this weekend, they absolutely need to get 3 points. And for me, they need to get 3 points from now to the end of the season. And they've got no room for error.
What do you think specifically this weekend, Stephen? You know, there's been a lot of talk about James Forrest and in the wide areas. What are your thoughts there?
Well, obviously, it's something in the water tonight, because I found myself agreeing with Hugh at the very start of the programme in regards to the likes of Yang and James Forrest. I know
another sound judge
as well, but I just have to say, for me, Yang is one of the poorest Celtic players I've ever seen, and I'm 49, and I've seen a lot of poor players, you know what I mean, coming through the ranks of Celtic at various times. Yang, as a winger and a professional footballer, can't head the ball. He can pass the ball marginally, right? And he can run. He can't cross the ball. He can't shoot, and he can't score. So, sadly for me, it's a fail in multiple areas for me. I would have James Forrest in there every day of the week. I'd have him in before Lewis Palmer as well. The guy comes on, for some reason, some of the fans don't really want to acknowledge what he's done for the club. I think he's been a great servant, and comes in with big goals, maybe no score all the time, but he comes in when you needed him. And Celtic needed a goal against Aberdeen, and he delivered it, you know. So I think I would have him in the team. And I think going forward, every one of these games is probably a cup final for both teams. You know, there'll be a cup final, whoever has the early kickoff, if they don't get 3 points, it reverts back to the second one, the second team to go. So, listen, I think it'll be a great spectacle. And for all the fans that were saying that they wanted a title race and are probably complaining now, is this not really what we always wanted? Two close teams, a bit of excitement, every game meaning something, because probably over the last 10 years, there's probably no been that, you know, from one side to the other.
Let's be honest, you know, you've revelled in the last 10 years, one season apart, or the last 12 years, one season apart. So the point that you make is an honest one, but most people would rather have domination, but now it's a real dogfight. And that's why I agree with you. Yang, Palmer, for me, they're lightweights, and Celtic need heavyweight mentality now. And that, for me, means that Forrest has to get more game time than they do.
We'll find out at the weekend, I'm absolutely sure of it. On the subject then of the title race and the way it's swinging back and forward in recent times, let's hear from Philippe Clement, because he wanted to point out today, reminding everyone that despite that week leading up to the Cup where Rangers dropped points and got a lot of criticism, it is his team who's got the best points haul since he came to the club. He says he's been evaluating his record at the club ahead of the final six games.
For me, it's also an evaluation moment, always, this split. You can see, okay, everybody played against everybody the same amount of games. So if we look back in the last 6 months, when we are working here together, then we are the team who took the most points. We took 4 points more than Celtic in that period. If you look to only games in the Premiership, against Premiership teams, then it's even more, because we won also the Cup Final and we won against Hearts, and they had to draw against Aberdeen. So everybody in the club would have signed for that 6 months ago, and nobody believed that would be possible. It's now repeating that again. It's not a guarantee, it's nothing, but it's something they've proven already, and now they need to prove it again the next six games.
This is the Rangers equivalent of Brendan Rodgers talking about Celtic come alive and they have their trophy heads on and so forth. He's talking to the press, but aiming the words at the wider audience, the Rangers fans. Is a perfectly legitimate tactic to indulge in the mind games. Brendan has done it for the Celtic fans. Philippe is doing it for the Rangers fans. Ultimately, all of what has gone before is now irrelevant. It's what you do starting Sunday.
Evaluation moments for me for Old Firm is trophies in the cabinet at the end of the season. And I'm quite a wee bit, yes, I know it's mind games, but I'm a little bit surprised that Clement has came out and mentioned the number of points that he's won over Celtic. Listen, fans, at the end of the season, all they want to see is trophies in the cabinet, and that's the most important thing.
What do you think out there then? Title race or anything else, St Mirren fans? I keep asking Dundee fans, anyone else who wants to look ahead to the weekend's action. The Championship can officially be won tonight. I think we all know it's done anyway, but if we want to make it official, that tonight could be the night. So 0141 951 1025, and we'll get a full time teaser next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are here. It's 0141 951 1025. You can get in touch on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. It's that time of the night where we test the football intellect. I know, don't laugh. All of the pundits in the studio, so let's do it.
Full time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Okay, since the year 2000, 9 players have won PFA Scotland's Young Player of the Year for a non Old Firm team. So since the year 2000, 9 players have won PFA Scotland's Young Player of the Year outside the Old Firm. Can you name them?
Did Scott Brown do it at Hibs?
No. No, there are some Hibs winners, I don't mind giving you that, but Scott Brown was not one of them.
Is Derek Riordan one of them?
Derek Riordan is one of them. Okay, Cammy.
Stephen Naismith at Kilmarnock.
I always look for the Kilmarnock link, and he is correct. 2007, Stephen Naismith won it whilst a Kilmarnock player. The only slight clue I'll give you, not that it helps much, although I've said since the year 2000, none of them are recently, really.
Right.
So
Ryan Gold?
No. Again, might not be the worst club to stick with, yeah, but not Ryan Gold.
Johnny Russell?
No. I mean, if there was to be like a really obvious one, you would think
Robertson?
Yes, Andy Robertson. Okay. He's done all right, hasn't he?
Yes, very well.
Okay, Andy Robertson, Stephen Naismith, Derek Riordan, six to get. And if you like the sound of that, if you think you could come up with a question that will test the pundit's knowledge, you email it fulltime@clyde1.com and we try our best to get it out there on the show. Friday night football, as always, in the Championship. Cammy, you are our Championship correspondent. Dundee United are champions in absolutely everyone's eyes,
yep,
let's be honest, but they can make it official, I suppose, yeah, tonight against Airdrie.
Yeah, I absolutely think they will. They got the job done last weekend against Airdrie United. It was a big, big win for them at Tannadice, and it was again, you've seen all the fans running the pitch. It was a great, great moment for Jim Goodwin and his team, because it's been a struggle at times this season. There's been high expectations, and Raith Rovers have done brilliant to hang on to their coattails for so long. And they've managed to get the job done. I would think they'll officially get it done tonight. I think they'll take something from the game. Albeit Airdrie had a fantastic run as well this season and are well firmly placed in that playoff spot.
This could be complete nonsense. Most of my personal theories are, Hugh, but I feel like our country, above others, has a real weird obsession with guards of honour,
yeah,
and when they take place and when they don't, and whether they should, whether they shouldn't. Like, it's a perfectly nice, harmless gesture, but we get very like official about it. So Airdrie today felt the need not only to hold the guard of honour, but to issue a statement in advance of the guard of honour to say, although not quite mathematically confirmed, we recognise the insurmountable lead held by tonight's visitors at the top of the Cinch Championship. As such, we congratulate Dundee United as champions and will welcome them onto the pitch with a guard of honour this evening.
Well, I'm trying to be kind here. That Airdrie are attempting to be respectful and courteous, and they are recognising that Dundee United are the de facto champions, as they say in Airdrie. So I don't blame them. My favourite was always when Celtic won the title, well, Rangers give them a guard of honour. And I always said, no, they shouldn't. And neither should Celtic if Rangers win it. Because a guard of honour is supposed to signify respect and appreciation. And if you've got Old Firm players holding their nose while trying to applaud at the same time in a guard of honour, there is no guard of honour, there's no respect.
It just feels like it doesn't have to be so, like, official. Like, Dundee United can officially win the league tonight, yeah, so why not just wait, and then next week, if the team who they face wants to do it, then so be it.
Yeah, I find it really bizarre that Airdrie are going to do it today. And again, to make the announcement and obviously make a statement over it, it's drawn more attention. See if they'd just done it during the game and hadn't mentioned anything, then I still would find it a bit bizarre, because they've not won the league yet. So yeah, it's a strange one.
I don't get the point of guards of honour anyway. I mean,
well, listen, no, but I don't mind it either. That's what I mean. I think we should just be a bit more indifferent about the full thing. I don't think we need to slate it. It's perfectly fine, it's perfectly respectable. But now doing them because teams are about to win the league just seems confusing. Anyway, let's bring in Gary in Govan. How are you, Gary?
I'm better than James Brown.
Good, that's a good level to be. What are you thinking tonight then?
I'm thinking I'm looking forward to the lament comment, given it the grief when he gets beat. The excuses he's going to come up with, because he's the only manager that seems to get away with criticising referees and various other officials and getting away with it.
Is this a recent thing? Was there something today, or is this a more of a historical gripe you've got?
Historical, but I mean, you never get, you know, the Celtic manager gets suspended and whatever. Nothing happened to him when he done it.
I mean, we have kind of been through this, but just to, for accuracy, if Philippe Clement says referee's incompetent, I would expect him to get banned. The rules
he
are.
He would have to, yeah, because that's the word that Brendan Rodgers used, and that's why he got the ban.
The rules are quite annoying, I get it. You are allowed to criticise refs, and you can go certain directions as long as you stop at a certain point, as long as you don't use certain words, you won't be found in breach of the rules. So I know we specialise in this stuff, but Brendan Rodgers got banned and Clement should have been banned. Unless Philippe Clement has said the same word and escaped ban, we're comparing apples and oranges, unfortunately.
No, and again, it's a fine line when you start to criticise, and you run the risk straight away if you're criticising openly a referee or an official. Brendan Rodgers again used that word that was in the rules that ultimately came to his ban. So listen, Clement's not used the same words, so we can't compare it, as you said, Gordon. But yeah, I think you always run the risk of potentially a ban coming against you if you're criticising the referee openly. And I think both managers at this time of the season will be pretty smart, and I think they'll use their common sense in press conferences and be very quietly. They'll not give too much away in them.
Gary, was there something specific that made you start with that?
No, I'm just looking forward to hearing him moaning, because he complained about everything, and I'm really looking forward to it when he complains when they lose the league.
He's been pointing out today, Gary, he's been pointing out today that it's his team that's picked up the most points in the last 6 months. What do you make of that?
That doesn't make any difference. At the end of the day, it's what team wins the league. That's all that matters. We win at Parkhead, it's all over, bar the shouting.
You have to beat Dundee and Hearts before then.
Bring it on.
This is the thing, because obviously, I think internally, if you were Philippe Clement, I would understand, if you're trying to chart progress, because he can't really take responsibility for Michael Beale's results, obviously. So I get why he would sort of think those things, but there is as you say, with every word's hung upon here, and we're five games to go. So Pozog tweeted, Clement setting himself up for a fall with these comments, which he obviously assumes are good enough. Still behind Celtic, that's what the fans will be thinking. It doesn't. If this goes Celtic's way, Philippe Clement is entitled to look at the progress he's made, but I don't detect too many Rangers fans going, well, I'll tell you what, we picked up more points in Clement's time than Celtic did.
He also overlooks the sequence of games that I pointed out to you. Motherwell, Celtic, Ross County, Dundee.
I guess, though, he's just saying, well, but that's their bad spell, and even at that, he's still overseen more points than Celtic have during the same time.
I think the Rangers fans understood the weight of that bad spell, because they were stunned by it. They were stunned by 1 point from six against Dundee and Ross County, and there is absolutely no doubt that it changed the whole atmosphere around the title race. The Celtic fans couldn't believe their luck. And now, five games to go, Celtic with a 3-point advantage, and now it's about how strong is your nerve.
You sound pretty confident, Gary. You fancy it?
Six games to go, two cups in the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Celtic lose any of the... Did Celtic drop points in any of the last remaining five league games?
No.
Fair enough.
Invincibles this for the rest of the season.
We can't go five game invincible. That's a loose tag. But
post split invincible.
It's perfectly possible. I'm just asking. I'm not asking because I think it's ludicrous to suggest. It's clearly possible.
It is possible. I don't agree with that. I think there will be drop points from Celtic. I think there'll be drop points from Rangers as well. I really do think there's some tough games in there.
When they come is going to be important.
Yeah,
said
totally.
This before, because everyone's obsessed with. Obsessed, but people's eyes are drawn mostly to Celtic's away trip to Kilmarnock.
Yep.
That happens to come after the Rangers game.
Yep.
So if that is going to be Celtic's most difficult game, and we don't know that yet, but if it was and that came this weekend and it comes before, so I wonder if the order could play a part.
No, it definitely does. I think the Celtic will look at that game against Kilmarnock. They're probably glad that it's further down the line. But again, they've got a tough game against Hearts, who have obviously had success at Celtic Park this season. And then we can't overlook the game on Sunday against Dundee. Dundee have got so much to play for. They're looking for that European spot. But it's the same for Rangers. It's the exact same. I'm not fully convinced by both teams, to be perfectly honest, this season against everybody. So That's why I do think both teams will still drop points.
We're dealing in human nature here. Gary is contradicting a fellow Celtic supporter who two or three calls ago said no one can say definitively who will win the title. But Gary believes that he can say definitively.
Yeah, I don't think Gary's saying definitively. Ask him to predict it. And
well, he said the Celtic are going to be invincibles. They're
that's
not
what
going
he
to
thinks
lose.
Thinks will
yeah,
happen.
That's why I'm that's saying human nature. I began by saying human nature. One Celtic supporter said marginal favourites, not possible to say definitively. And another Celtic supporter, Gary, is saying win every game, post-split invincibles, and the cup as well.
Does
human
James,
nature.
James Forrest come into the team from the start, Gary?
I hope so.
Oh, that means you're on the same track as Hugh. Bad news like the rest of them. Thanks very much to Gary on the line on 0141 951 1025. Let's check in again on that teaser that we gave you tonight. It's quite a good one. Bob in Shettleston came up with it, so thanks to Bob. Thanks to Universal Interiors as well for sending the question in. Where are we on it? I've lost it. Here we are. Can you name nine players since 2000 who have won PFA Scotland's Young Player of the Year outside the Old Firm? Can you name them? You've given us Riordan, Naismith and Robertson.
Did John McGinn win it?
He didn't.
Did Greg Taylor win
he
it?
He did not. No, so none of them. Even before that, before I would say, that, yeah.
Craig Gordon, did he win it?
Not the young player, the, no.
No. It's a difficult one, that.
Let me think. You're not actually done with Hibs yet. You're not done with Dundee United yet.
Lewis Stevenson?
Nope. You're done with Kelly. That's the only Kelly representative. Two more Hibs players actually still to get. One is way back. That's always the clue in the question. Since 2000.
Tam McManus?
No, but bit before him. Who's always on the teaser? Because he's played for everybody.
Kenny Miller.
Kenny Miller.
Kenny Miller.
There we go. He's usually listening as well. So anyway, Kenny Miller, we'll get the rest of the answers hopefully next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are on the home straight, the final furlong, the back net. I don't know. We're nearly finished basically on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. There is still time for you to squeeze in a call if you're that way inclined. So please do. We are looking at answers on this teaser as well, so let's check in on it and see how it goes. It says, since the year 2000, nine players have won PFA Scotland's Young Player of the Year for a non-Old Firm team. Kenny Miller and Derek Riordan did it at Hibs. Stephen Naismith did it at Kilmarnock and Andy Robertson at Dundee United. That's where we got to before the break.
Lee Griffiths.
At Hibs, well done.
Yep.
Faddy at Motherwell.
Of course. How could you forget?
Good Willie.
Yes. Dundee United in 2011. So that's seven of the nine. Better than usual from you two, it has to be said.
Tough question.
One of the least effective duos on the full time teaser, it has to be said. You have to say the online, the digital desks of our newspapers, Hugh, different days from when you started.
Oh, yeah.
They don't hang around. Here, it's just been sent to me. Rangers captain James Tavernier wants to finish his career at Ibrox, but the club could accept an offer this summer. That's the view of his former teammate Cammy Bell.
Oh, I love it.
Put your name
jump
to
on
it straight
it,
away. Very fast indeed. Very fast.
Very fast.
Right, where are we? The games tonight, of course, Dundee United. Do you expect them to get that over the line, incidentally, Cammy? Officially, when it's done anyway, does it matter?
Yeah.
All the talk of what's the phrase I'm looking for? Guards of
Guards
honour.
Of honour.
And all the rest
no,
of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they'll get it done. The pressure's off them now as well, and I think that got to them for a little bit. A period when Raith Rovers were right on their tails. They had that wobble where Raith beat them as well. So I think now the pressure's off. I think they'll get the job done tonight. Again, it's unrealistic. It's not going to happen. They've won the league no matter what, and it's job done because listen, it's not easy to get out of the championship when you drop into it. Jim Goodwin's got the job done that was expected of him, and it's I think there's a big rebuild job in the summer though, because I think they need a better quality of player in there. No disrespect to the guys that have done it, but I think it's a bit like Kilmarnock when they first came into the league. they had that transitional year last year. They were peeing around about the relegation zone, but then this season Derek McInnes has got a full new squad in and good quality players, and look where they've ended up.
Airdrie are on the rebound from going over from Partick Thistle at the weekend. Most unlike Airdrie, you know, 4-0.
Yeah.
And now they have to play Partick Thistle in the playoffs, and you know, that's a blow to them. I just think that surely Dundee United want to have that moment. We are the champions.
Still goalless, incidentally, very early on in that one. Just in the subject of the full-time teaser, it is awards season. We asked Hugh to pick his four earlier in the week. He's changed them because that's just what he does. Cammy, you gave us your four, didn't you?
Yeah,
earlier on. Who would be in amongst the young player debate then if it's to be a final four? It's a bit harder, isn't it? Because
it's a bit harder, yeah. Again, ones that spring to mind for me are David Watson, Lennon Miller. They're the two that I think certainly are real standouts for me. David Watson's been fantastic, played consistently for Kilmarnock, who, again, are high flying in the league, so he's got to be up there. Scored a lot of goals this season. But again, Lennon Miller, I love watching him. I think he's a brilliant, brilliant footballer. He's got such a bright future ahead of him. And Motherwell, unfortunately, I think for yourselves, are going to have a tough job on their hands keeping him. But again, they'll get a good financial reward for it.
I mean, loads, Hugh. I mean, Ross McCausland would qualify for sure. Yep. Lyle Cameron would be in there, wouldn't he? Dundee, he'd qualify. Double check. Owen Beck in theory would be young enough.
I think if Lyle Cameron gets in, and I think he's been a great player this season for Dundee. Very effective, really exciting as well. So I think he's in a good shout if he makes the cut.
I can't see past Lennon Miller, which I hope does not kill his chances altogether. I just think you're frightening talent for 17, and even found time to pass his driving test while he was at it.
Yeah, sometimes though, you know, maybe like we said in the Premiership, everyone raves about how good Cameron Carter-Vickers is, but most people said he's maybe not played quite enough games. Maybe yeah. David Watson's, he's played more game time, I think you would imagine, than Lennon Miller this season. Like I say, Lyle Cameron's been a real key part of what Dundee's done, has he not?
Brilliant player. And again, another exciting player to watch, and I think he'll be on a lot of teams' radars, and unfortunately for these teams, that's what happens. Your young talent gets taken away from you, and you get the opportunity to go and better their careers. But again, the clubs need to get well rewarded for these talents moving on. But yeah, listen, he's been brilliant for Dundee, so consistent. But again, what you touched on with David Watson, he's played a lot of games this season, and he's been a real focal point in the middle of the park, a real driver for Kilmarnock, and yeah, he's been brilliant as well.
Let's finish with a quick further preview on the games tomorrow, because we've been touching on it throughout, but or this weekend I should say. We've been obsessed with the title race. Who's more likely to take points this weekend, Dundee or St Mirren? Just out of curiosity.
For me, Dundee.
What makes you say that? I mean, because you know, St Mirren are higher than Dundee and Celtic are higher than Rangers.
I'm looking at Celtic's defence. I'm looking at the...
But previous games, obviously Celtic have been very comfortable against Dundee this season. 3-0, 3-0 and 7-1, was it?
Yeah, they were 6-0 up at half-time at Celtic Park. I think young Daniel Kelly added a seventh, second half. But I just think there's something about Dundee now. They've qualified for the top six. They're going for Europe. I know they'll miss Joe Shaughnessy and Owen Beck's long-term... But I think they're capable of frightening that Celtic defence.
I don't think either will drop points this weekend. That's my...
Fair enough.
My statement.
What else? What other game tickles your fancy the most out of the rest on Saturday?
It'll be a kind of, sadly, momentous occasion, because I think Ross County will beat Livy and Livy will go down. And, you know, nothing but respect for David Martindale and what he's done at Livingston, and I know that he'll stay next season and try and get them up in a winner, but I think it'll be a symbolic occasion tomorrow.
Again, I'll look at the fixtures. Kilmarnock v Hearts is a brilliant game. Again, two teams, Hearts will be looking to bounce back after the disappointment of the weekend, and Kilmarnock will want to keep that run going. They're full of confidence. I think they've won well, they're unbeaten in 10 of the last 11 at Rugby Park, so it's such a difficult place to go. But they've not beat Hearts this season, so they'll want to get one over on them.
I guess tomorrow Hearts could officially clinch third, but it's going to happen surely, isn't it? What is it, 11 points with five to go? Would be incredible if they didn't. I think, I guess, tomorrow that means they could make it official.
If there's anything about them, they want to be better than they were at Hampden in the Scottish Cup semi-final, because they were woeful.
Is tomorrow the biggest clue that we get about the goalkeeping situation going forward? Because Craig Gordon was going to play the Scottish Cup game, so he did. He got the game before that to prepare him for the Scottish Cup game, so presumably it's back to Xander Clark tomorrow.
Yeah, again, it's a big decision for Steve Naismith. There'll be conversations being had behind the scenes. I don't know whether there'll be an agreement that Craig Gordon gets a couple of games in this sort of split. I presume he will. I think he will get some game time. Whether it'll be tomorrow, I'm unsure. But yeah, I think, listen, Hearts need to bounce back. They won't want negativity going on to the end of the season, because we've seen it before. That can fester into next season. Stephen Naismith will want to finish on a high, and then there's a lot of, he's made obviously a number of signings already for next season, so he'll want to hit the ground running when the new campaign starts.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much us. We're almost out of time. It was another quick show, and I'm looking forward to this weekend. Another double helping of Clyde One Super Scoreboard, because the games are coming thick and fast. Get to the end of the season, they have us on Sundays. We're talking about late night shows when we get the midweek games coming up. It is all happening. Let's check this teaser before we go. We're looking for the 9 players since 2000 who've won Young Player of the Year for a non-Old Firm club. Derek Riordan, Stephen Naismith, Andy Robertson, Kenny Miller, Lee Griffith, James McFadden, and David Goodwillie, which means you've got 2 to get, is it?
I think. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we need clues. You got one?
Oh, yeah. 3 to get.
No, two.
Is it? Okay. If I gave you the club, that would be too easy.
No, it would
with this club. Oh. So that's the thing. Maybe that's a clue in itself.
What about Livingston?
Nope.
No.
Ross County?
Nope. What about Aberdeen? That's a separate one. And we're going way back again. So 2002. So sandwiched in between kind of Kenny Miller's era of the award and James McFadden's. This will be the toughest one on the list, I reckon. If I give you his other club that he really excelled for, I think you might get it. Cardiff. Or maybe not, as the case may be. Aberdeen and Cardiff. That's who you need to start thinking about. I think he was a fullback.
McNaughton.
Yes, Kevin McNaughton. Okay, so what are the... Is it one left now?
Yeah.
Can't keep up. Okay. I need to... The club definitely gives it away, but as you can hear, we're pretty much out of time.
We're toiling.
Hamilton Accies.
James McCarthy.
Yes, James McCarthy. The lesser spotted James McCarthy. He is on the list. 2009 winner with Hamilton. And just like that, we're done already. Thank you to Hugh Keevans. Thank you to Cammy Bell. And thank you for all the tweets, all the calls, to the many of you who just sit back and shout at the radio when Hugh Keevans speaks as well. We appreciate every single one of you. It is a double helping of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It starts tomorrow at 2 o'clock, so make sure you join us. Really looking forward to it. Post split fixtures, we're on the home straight. We're about to start finding out who wins things and who doesn't, so make sure you join us at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Back on again on Sunday, and the GBX is up next.